Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about something we may have been hearing our entire lives, that nothing is perfect. In this show, we will be discussing different understandings and uses of the term nothing. We will explore the tendency of accepting the shadow of truth as truth and the consequences. Have you been one of the many who has accepted the imperfection of being because you don't know what nothing is perfect really means? Listen and understand what it means to be perfect. Even as your father, from Matthew 5:48. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance, get the light in your soul, and be perfect. Well, so Swami, so we want to be perfect. So let's talk about first, what do we mean when we talk about the word nothing?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, I think, that what we're really referring to is the void or the nothing. And I really like the discoveries of quantum physics, that they found that underlying matter was energy, and underlying energy was the void or the nothing. That's exactly what we're talking about. But this isn't the absence of something, but it is the absolute. It is the absolute wholeness. It is what doesn't report in a five-sense mind, in the lower mind. So the nothing really is what is referred to as perfect. And in Sanskrit, the word purna means to be whole, to be complete. That's exactly what we want to start to understand, that in this model, the nothing, the void or the nothing, is the perfection of being. As we start to work with this concept, you cross-examine it and try and make sense out of it, compare what you're doing with Scripture. And in the Bible, it is said that my kingdom is not of this world. And so what we have to understand is that there is this world and there is my kingdom. And the difference between my kingdom and this world is that this world is separate from my kingdom. So that's some of the information that we're working with. And in Kriya Yoga, we've been consistently talking about the principle of manifestation. In order for something to appear, to manifest, it has to split from unity, from the unified state, from the absolute. And it manifests in half and leaves behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. And that is a trinity that we can work with, that there are different dimensions of reality here. Now, what we're also starting to learn is that two of these dimensions, because they're in half, they make up a reality that is called duality. And duality, as we start to drill down with it, is really reported in the changing conditions of our personal mind. It is reported as a testimony of our five senses. And that's what most of us are accustomed to working with. Now, because things that are in half are never whole, right? Because if mathematically, if the goal of life was to go from point A to point B, and we said you could make as many moves as you want, but you can only go one half the distance with each move, you become rapidly close, infinitely close, and then frustrated as all get out because you're never going to reach point B. And that's where I think most of us really find we're trying to complete ourselves in a dimension of reality, in duality, which is separate from truth or principle of life or whatever terms you want to use. But the concept of wholeness is what we mean by perfect. And so in the title, where we say the truth about nothing is perfect, should be taken literally. That this dimension of reality that does not report in our five-sense mind is invisible and intangible is the truth of being. And that is the part of reality that is perfect.
Well, as you were talking, you reminded me of a saying I used to hear all the time, and that's, nobody is perfect. And it seems that that catchphrase was something that was used almost as like the scapegoat. Hey, well, I'm sorry this happened or I did this. Hey, you know, nobody's perfect. And I realize the show is nothing is perfect, but if we put in nobody is perfect, what is the difference with that? If we're made in God's image and we say, hey, nobody is perfect, you know, how does that really play out?
Yeah, I like that question a lot because it plays out by what we have also talked about in a number of our shows is that our nature is going to be determined by what it is that we desire. And so if we are accustomed to validating ourselves and using the testimony of our five senses for validation, then we're drawing from a dimension of reality that is limited. It is finite, mortal. And so the concept of being whole doesn't compute. And so if somebody's identity is found in things visible and tangible, then of course they're not perfect. But we have options as human beings. Also, say for example, if we are attached to things that are invisible but tangible, the whole realm of waves and thoughts and visions, we are also drawing from what is dualistic. It's the complementary, unmanifested other part of what is appearing in your senses. But it's not whole. And because it's not whole, there's no completion. And also, if we are drawn from that, we will be of a human nature. And if you're drawing from something that is visible and tangible, you will actually be of an animal nature. You will be more instinctual and base. But if we are attached and we desire what is void or nothing, this invisible, this intangible source of sustenance, then we will be of a divine nature. And that will start to outpicture as perfection. That is the perfection of being that we really want to start to demonstrate.
So when we say that nobody's perfect, you're saying that we have to desire nothing. That's what we have to do to become the nobody's perfect in a literal sense.
Right. And it's kind of like, it's very much in sync with what the Bible is talking about, putting off the old man. As a human being with a personal sense of self that lives out from a five-sense mind, we could never be perfect. And we've talked about this, that we have to purge ourselves of this false identity because we are accepting an identity that is, it's mortal, it is... finite, it is temporary, and it is subject to the laws of karma. So in other words, it falls under the jurisdiction of time and space, and it will expire. But if we can accept our identity as this invisible, intangible source, and we identify with spirit, instead of matter or mind, then of course now you are in the realms of eternity and you are under divine law. And divine law is very different than the law of karma. The law of karma, it punishes and rewards. But divine law just pours out absolute goodness. It is eternal life. It is not life that winds up in death. It is not goodness that can become bad, that it is absolute goodness. It is absolute life. And that, assuming that as your identity, is where you can actually demonstrate the perfection of being. And that's what in the Bible it says, be perfect like your Father. And so our Father, this concept of God the Father, is spirit. And that is what we have to do. We have to assume our spiritual identity. And I really love that statement in the Bible that says, ask in my name and it shall be given to you. Because to ask in God's name doesn't mean that you make a statement using a particular term that you refer to as your concept of the divine. But to ask in my name really means to be in my image and likeness.
So I think you just explained to us earlier about what the consequences are if we do accept the shadow of truth. And you were talking about the law of karma. Am I understanding that to be correct?
Yeah, that's 100% correct. That there's only one way that this goes right. And we need to figure out what that's going to look like when I'm actually doing it. And the instruction in scripture, things like, love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. Or I really like the Buddhist term, to desire nothing. And what I find is that there are a lot of misinterpretations of these simple instructions. And what you're also going to find is that in relation to dealing with unlocking greater human potential, this process and development for the human being, a miss is as good as a mile. Simple things like not really grasping what is meant by the term can really completely undermine the outcome. And that's why I really am enjoying this whole thing of spirituality is not magic, but it's physics, that it is a science, that it is demonstrable. Because if you are not able to test or prove out this theory, then it's really worthless. It's just a lot of advice that I think a lot of us have been believing in and just being tossed around because of the next theory that comes out or the next belief that everybody is accepting. And so when we wake up from that dream, that hypnotic state that we're in, when we're thinking with the lower mind, when we're thinking with mortal mind, and we have accepted ourselves as a finite being, then when we awaken from that and we start to realize that there really isn't much to be done here other than me accepting my identity as being in the image and likeness of the divine, that I am a perfect, spiritual, eternal being. And I'm doing that right now.
Well, I think this is a great place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, during the break, I was thinking about that Bible verse, love thy neighbor as thyself, and how can we apply that to our talk today about being perfect?
Yeah, well, I think what we talked about is the Christian instruction, one of those commandments, and I think the one that precedes to love thy neighbor as thyself is that to love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. The real key is when we find that, because in the framework of us accepting our divine selfhood, our spiritual selfhood, and loving what is invisible and intangible, it starts to awaken the understanding that spirit is all, that spirit is everywhere and in everything. And once you start to assimilate the identity that I am spirit and I am all, and now who was appearing across from you as a neighbor is not separate from you, is not living out from an appearance of somebody who could be maybe troublesome or interfering. Oftentimes, when we are perceiving and judging and condemning those that are before us, it's a whole different level of understanding. That when you understand we are all one, and the same soul that's animating you is animating me. And so it gives a whole different flavor to this concept of love thy neighbor as thyself, because now your neighbor and you are one and the same. And the other thing that I think happens with this that's also valuable is that when you are accepting your divine selfhood, you are starting to now demonstrate pure goodness, just absolute love. You are experiencing peace, happiness, and it's uninterrupted because it is now and it is the eternal now. It is always and it is unchanging. It is absolute. It's a very different dynamic than when we're trying to love humanly. Because in the framework of human love, there is love and hate. Because again, we're under the law of karma. It is in constant change. It is finite. It is impermanent. Whereas the love that we're talking about here is divine love. And it stems from divine mind and a spiritual understanding of yourself.
All right, so I think I understand that. So if we judge our neighbor, what we're really doing is, if we are exercising truth with a capital T, I think what we're doing is we are really saying or feeling those things about ourselves when we apply it to our neighbor.
Right. And there's so much that's going on there, because if we are seeing our neighbor and judging our neighbor, especially if we are seeing them doing something bad. Now, whether we realize it or not, that's in violation of the commandments. Because, first of all, if you are seeing somebody out there who is not in harmony with divine law, then you have a belief in something other than God. Because if God is everywhere and in everything, and God is pure goodness, then you're in violation of the commandment. The other commandment you're in violation of is the 9th commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Because if you're seeing your neighbor as a finite mortal being, and in reality, in truth, or in the truth of being, they are a outpicture of the divine. They are made in the image and likeness of the divine, and there's only one life. There's only one limitless power in this universe that is true, and you are seeing something else, then you have a belief in something other than God.
So when we talk about neighbors, a neighbor can be a literal neighbor or a coworker or family member or whatever. And so it should really pull up on screen for us that we need to look at, if we're having a judgment against that person, that should be like the red light that tells us, okay, whoa, I am not exercising all the qualities of being a divine, eternal, spiritual being right now.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And so that's one of the things that we start to do in our yoga practice, is that we start using what it is that is around us to give us clues as to what's going on in my consciousness. Because you can't outpicture or experience something that is not in your consciousness. And if you are holding your attention on the changeless state of being, the permanent, the truth of being, then you should be in harmony with divine law, which means that your life should be very well balanced and should be unfolding according to divine law. But if you're finding that there's conflict, then that's where you've got to start to do some troubleshooting. Because there's so many different ways that this can go wrong, and there's only one way that it goes right.
So what would you recommend that we do? So say we're at work and our coworkers, we're thinking, our perception is that they're being a little bit difficult and maybe a pain in our backside. So once we come to that realization that we just made that judgment or that call, what do we do? How can we rectify that for ourselves and so we don't make that same mistake again and again and again?
Yeah. Not accepting the testimony of your senses is where you start. Not believing what is before your eyes. Not accepting it. And really starting to understand that that's a reality that is apart from spirit. That is a reality that is apart from the truth of being or the perfection of being. Because we're really accustomed to reacting to the testimony of our senses. But as we start to hone our spiritual sense, as we start to hone our soul sense, and we are now seeing things the way that the Creator would perceive things spiritually, because The presence of spirit, because spirit is whole, it does not report in our five senses. So even though my kingdom is right here, right now, we don't perceive it. And so we start to develop an awareness for the presence of perfection. And in the framework of doing that, we detach ourselves from the testimony of the senses. We don't negate it, but we start to make it smaller so we're not reacting to it. Because remember, we're working with a formula that how we think is what we become. And if we continue to think with a five-sense mind and we continue to accept a lot of these human concepts and beliefs that are keeping us in this realm of imperfection, and we continue to accept the imperfection of our being, then we perpetuate the cycle of death and rebirth. So in order to get out of it, we have to think differently. And to think spiritually means to think in terms of wholeness, that you're not seeing or you're not reacting to what is reported in your senses, but you're thinking with God as God. And God does not think with a five-sense mind. God thinks in terms of the absolute. And so we pierce through the appearances of things and we hold to the truth of being, which is invisible and intangible. And it's not so much that you're going to fake it till you make it, but you mind it until you find it. Because if you continue to think spiritually, if you continue to think out from the perfection of being, then it will start to manifest and externalize in your reality. And that's where you start to actually live under divine law or live by what they call grace.
So I have a question here from one of our listeners who wants to know, can we prove the presence of God?
Well, you can prove it by demonstrating spiritual law. And I think the people that understand themselves spiritually and probably the best way of doing that through demonstration of healing of the sick or raising of the dead, that type of miraculous demonstration is really what I would say you would look for, you know, rather than somebody just trying to give you an academic argument, because in the Bible it kind of tells you that you prove your faith through deeds and not through words. So the proof of God, we will never be able to understand the absolute in the rational. The rational mind just will never understand the truth of being. Through demonstration, you can start to, I want to say, give yourself a better method of testing your own faith. Because that's one of the things that I notice is a lot of us, we pray, but we don't get results. If your practice is a science and we're dealing with laws, then it should be demonstrable. It should be provable. And oftentimes where we fail is that we are still working with a personal sense of self. We're still under the law of karma. And what a lot of us have accepted is our ability to change finite bad into finite good, and that seems to be about as far as we want to go with it. But to really take it to the next level is when you really have to give up your personal sense of self and then surrender yourself to the government of divine law so that you're under the jurisdiction of divine mind. And divine mind is the belief in one power, but it is also where you start to externalize the perfection of being
All right. Well, I think it's about that time. We have to start closing down our show for this morning. So listeners, I invite you out there to visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. And if you want to listen to some of our other Blog Talk Radio shows that we've done, you can access some of those on that homepage. Three quarters of the way down, you'll see a section entitled Swami Says Recent Posts. And don't forget also to tune in to our Wednesday 5 o'clock Facebook Live episodes that we do every week. So Swami, any other final thoughts or comments about today's program?
Well, I do encourage people to start living out from the truth of being and start to demonstrate their own perfection. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.